Take your Bibles, please. Turn to Genesis chapter 1. Genesis chapter 1. And before we read, let me say this. Just this last Wednesday night, we finished up our series on wisdom. I'll be honest with you, I didn't count, didn't even look. I'm guessing probably 22, 24, 26 weeks we talked about that topic. I have no idea how long we'll be on this topic. Probably at least 20, 22, 23 weeks or so. But I really believe that if you would come for the next series, your Christian life will go to new heights. There is a part of the Christian life, and some of you that have been in this room that have been saved a long time, you've never grabbed a hold of the truth that I'll be teaching. Those of you that are younger, if you get it, your life will be richer, I promise you. We are going to talk about the Holy Spirit for the next many, many, many months. You say, oh, I know all about that. No, you don't. No, you don't. And if you did, you wouldn't talk about it that way, I promise you. I have met what many would say are probably the most prominent men of the 20th century who were, and I'm going to use a term here that is an appropriate term, filled with the Holy Spirit. I've met Lee Roberson. I've met Lester Roloff. I've met Tom Malone, Joe Boyd, Dr. Jack Hiles, Brother Owens. And I could go down the line. I mean, just one after another, you name them. Most every one of those men I have spent hours with, I've met them. They all had a common, by the way, I knew men from the early 70s, men like Harold Henniger, Dr. Bruce Cummins, and others who have built great works of yesteryear. And I've met them. I've known them. Now, if you'll listen to me, I think I could help you. We're going to read Genesis chapter 1. Leave your Bibles open because we are going to use them a bunch tonight. So just get ready. It's coming. Genesis chapter 1, verse number 1. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void. And darkness was upon the face of the deep. Now watch this. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light. And there was light. Now I want you to look at verse 2, towards the end of the verse. And the Spirit of God. Let me ask you a question. Is that a small s or a capital S? That's a proper noun. A proper noun names a specific person, place, thing, or idea. I could say that there is a man here. Or I could say, Brother Ron is here. A man here, that's a common noun. When I say Brother Ron is here, that's a proper noun. That names a specific person. So the word Ron would have to be capitalized. Same thing here. And the Spirit of God. That is a specific spirit. By the way, that is another name for the Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, the Holy Ghost are all the same, by the way, person. Now, we live in a world that totally misunderstands the topic of the Holy Spirit. Totally. It's either taught as some sensual, wild, gibbering, weird presence or some spooky doctrine that we should leave alone. I'll be quite honest with you. I refuse to ignore the truth because some people misteach it. By the way, it's a good thing we don't do that about the doctrine of salvation. Why do we do it with the doctrine of the Holy Ghost? We don't not preach the truth of salvation because the Catholics and the Pentecostals and the Episcopalians and the Lutherans screw it up. Why should we avoid the doctrine of the Holy Ghost because people misteach it? I don't agree with that. The Holy Spirit is real. He is not some invisible power that comes on you to do wild, crazy, weird things. The Holy Spirit is a real person that indwells every believer that gets saved. Now listen to this. He will never force himself on anyone. He will just gently lead and convict. Now, I'm going to review for just a moment something that I have used many times. Man is a threefold being. He has a body, he has a soul, and he has a spirit. All right? Man has a body, a soul, and a spirit. Now, review with me. Man is threefold. I want you to talk out loud. This is your chance to talk in church, all right? You ready? Man is number one, a what? Body. Number two, he is a?
Soul.
And number three, he is a?
Spirit.
Super. Now, man was created in God's image. Bible open, Genesis chapter 1. Look at verse number 26. And God said, I love this next term. Let us. Circle that word us if you mark in your Bible. Who's God talking to? He's talking to himself. That means us, that's plural. That's more than one person. Now some of you talk to yourself, but that's not plural. Okay, you might have two personalities, but you're still one person. All right, God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the over all the earth, over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him, male and female created he them. Now, let me say this. God is also threefold. Now, talk with me again. Man is threefold. He's first of all, what? A body, then he is a
soul,
and he is a super. God is God the Father, God the Son, and God the
Holy Spirit.
Oh, so you have Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Now, it's very much like God has this ability to separate all three of those. Do you know you can't separate your body from your soul? Nor your soul from your spirit. But God has the ability to separate the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit from one another at the same time. Let me show you what I mean. I am a pastor. I am also a husband. But I'm also a dad. I have three positions, and I must exercise all three of those positions. May I say this? When I go home, I'm not pastoring my wife. Say, what are you? I'm husband and daddy. Everybody understand that?
Yeah.
Now, I'm the same person, but I'm exercising other things. Say, why? And just like when I come to church, I'm not supposed to be dad. I'm supposed to be pastor. Everybody understand that? All right, I had an appointment with someone this evening, a lady in our church. I wasn't being husband, I was being pastor. Say why? Because that was the role that I was to fulfill at that time. Everybody understand that? Now, God has the ability to separate those into three different entities, though they are one. Say, I don't understand that. Neither do I. I'm not God. That's why he's God and you're not. Say, well, that just doesn't make sense to me. Just hang on. You'll see here in a little while. Now, listen to this very carefully. I want to show you tonight who the Holy Spirit is. I want to introduce you to him. I want you to know who he is so that you can better get to know him yourself. I'm going to make some statements to those of you that think you're knowing the Bible well. It may confuse you. I want you to just hang on to your seats. I have everything I need scripturally to back it and show you. Sometimes we accept what people say. And we've accepted it so long that we use bad terminology or wrong terminology from time to time. Now, I want to start at the beginning. Number one, the Holy Spirit was part of creation. We read Genesis chapter 1, verse number 2. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. The Holy Spirit was present at creation. You say, why? Because he's God. He is as much God as Jesus is God. He is as much God as the Father is God. Does everybody understand that? You're talking about the same person. Just a different title or position held by God. Now, don't believe these self-styled theologians who say, well, the Holy Spirit's only a New Testament thing. It didn't come about till Pentecost. My next week's lesson is the Holy Spirit and Pentecost, just so you know. Do you know that they were having Pentecosts for about 2,000 years, 1,500 years before Acts chapter 2? Uh-oh, that just blew that out of the water, didn't it? We talk about the day of Pentecost. Do you know how many days of Pentecost there were? There were thousands. So it must not have been that day of Pentecost. See, the Holy Spirit was present at creation. Now, I want you to turn Genesis chapter 2, verse number 7. I'm going to use some science. I'm going to use some terminology to help you. This will help you understand something here. Genesis chapter 2, look at verse number 7. And the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Now watch this. And breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Watch this. And man became a living what? Soul. Wow. God breathed into man the breath of life, and man became a living soul. Now look at me. On the sixth day of creation, for 5 days, God spoke everything into existence. On the sixth day, God came down, took his very own hands, and shaped the dirt, the clay, the mud, into the body of a man. Then he breathed into man through his nostrils the breath of life. And man became a, what's the next word? Living soul. In other words, he inspired man. He breathed life giving breath into the body of man, and man became a living soul. And the soul became alive because the Holy Spirit breathed into, out of the mouth of God, into the nostrils of man, and man became body, soul, and spirit. Now, that's important. Turn to, in your Bibles, John chapter 6. We're going to use our Bibles. I want you to get ready here. John chapter 6, we're going to look at verse number 63. Now, I want you to look at capitalizations and lack of capitalizations. John chapter 6, verse number 63. It is the Spirit that quickeneth. Ooh, everybody look at me. The word quicken. How many of you have ever broke your fingernail. Busted's not a good word, is it? Broke your fingernail down into the quick. And how many of you have ever done something like that or jammed something up into your fingernail? I have done that more than I care to think about. Why do they call that the quick? That's the living part of that area. Also, Brother Ron and Julie could tell you, I've seen this done. One of the tests, if someone passes away or they think somebody's dead, sometimes they'll take something and just poke them underneath the fingernail. Say, why? Because you can't stand that kind of pain without a physical reaction. They'll test people for paralyzation the same way. They'll see if that part of their body is still alive. Say, why? You jam a needle underneath your fingernail like that and see if you don't holler. Trust me. Now, the word quick, it's an old English term, just so you know. If you were over in England and they would go out and find a tree in the early spring, they would cut a limb off and look at it to see if it had any quick left in it. If there was any life, any green left inside the tree. And that quick meant it had life, that it could bring forth fruit and that it could keep on living. If not, they would cut it down. The word quick means life. Now, John 6:63, it is the spirit that quickeneth. The flesh profiteth nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Look at me. Did you know that the word of God, as he spoke, it was the Holy Spirit of God moving to make creation take place? Genesis chapter 1. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, let there be light. And there was light. God uses words as spirit, and that spirit is what gives life. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Peter chapter 3. 1 Peter chapter 3. We're going to look at this real quickly here because I've got a lot to get through. 1 Peter chapter 3, we're going to look at verse number 18. I'm in 2 Peter chapter 3. That won't do us. 1 Peter 3, 18. Now, watch this. Do you remember? Quickeneth. The word quicken means what? Life. Say it again. Quicken means what? Life. Here we go. Verse number 18. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. For Christ hath also once suffered for sins, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the, what's the next word? Flesh. But quickened by the, capital S or small s? Ah. He was put to death in his body, but brought back to life by the Holy Spirit of God. The resurrection happened due to the Holy Spirit reviving the body and the soul of Jesus Christ. Go to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4. I'm going to show you how that the Bible says this, not just a preacher. Romans chapter 4, verse number 17. As it is written, I have made thee a father of many nations before him whom he believed, even God, who quickeneth the dead and calleth those things which be not as though they were. Wow, quickeneth the dead. How did he quicken the dead? The Bible says he quickened the dead by the Spirit. Now, listen to me very carefully. Did you know that the word quicken and the word inspire and the word breathed are virtually the same word? Turn your Bible, 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Verse number 16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Look at me. All scripture. Let me ask you a question. Scripture, what is another name for scripture? Is it not the words of God? Is that correct? Huh. My Bible says in the book of Revelation that when Jesus comes back at Armageddon, there'll be written his name on his vesture, the Word of God. So Scripture, And the Word of God, which is Jesus, which is God, and the Bible and the Holy Spirit all work together. Now, listen to this very carefully. Did you realize that when God spoke creation into being, He was giving us His words? And God said, and the Spirit of God moved. And God said, and the Spirit of God moved. Now, I say that to say this. I've heard all kinds of people try to describe and explain inspiration. Some of them try to use just an English dictionary. They're not real smart. But even if they did, they'd be okay. The word spirit and the word spire are the same root word. And the word spire and the word spirit, the root word is breath. It literally means to resuscitate. It means to breathe life into something. Now, Brother Brett, let's see here. A week ago? 10 days ago? About 10 days ago, I was going to say your little one. He's almost as big as Brooke. Brody was born. Did you know that when Brody was first born, he technically had not breathed yet? But the moment he took his first breath, he was inspired to live. Let me ask you a question. Do you have to have somebody continually breathing breath into your body to live? No. Once you took your first breath, you're supposed to be taking the rest on your own, right? That means the inspiration, once it starts, it continues forever. As long as there is life, there has been inspiration. By the way, inspiration of the Word of God did not die. If it died, God died, and we all are going to go to hell. Everybody catch that? I've heard people say, well, the root word is spirit. And it has nothing to do with breath. They don't understand. The root word of spirit is spire, which means breath. I don't care what dictionary you use. You're just showing your ignorance of English grammar. Now, the Word of God and the Spirit of God must agree, or it's not of God. Can I tell you something? Somebody that says, well, I'm going to go do this because I feel led by the Spirit to go do this. If it's in contrary to that book right there, it's not the Holy Spirit that told you. Well, God told me to go to the bar and be like everybody at the bar. God told me that that's what I'm supposed to do. God didn't tell you that because that goes against what He said in His Word. And if God goes against Himself, He is not God. Anybody catch that? The Holy Spirit and the Word of God must work together, or whatever you're listening to is not the Holy Spirit. By the way, the Holy Spirit cannot be contrary to the Word of God. Now, I got to move on. I'm going to run through this. We're not going to look these verses up because we don't have time. But the Holy Spirit did empower people in the Old Testament. The Holy Spirit did empower people in the Old Testament. If you went to 1 Samuel chapter 10, verse number 10, 1 Samuel chapter 11, verse number 6, 1 Samuel 19, verse number 23, the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord came upon Saul, King Saul. The Holy Spirit came upon King Saul. That is Old Testament, just so you know. Then, in 2 Chronicles 15, chapter 1, it says, Azariah, the Spirit of the Lord God came upon Azariah. In Job 27, verse number 3, the Bible says that the Spirit of God came upon the nostrils of Job. That does not mean he had a powerful nose. It means he was sustaining the life of Job. By the way, there's that breath again. In Exodus 31:3, 35:31, it talks about a man named Bezaleel, B-E-Z-A-L-E-E-L. You can pronounce it however you want. That's how I pronounced it, all right? The Bible says that the Spirit of God came upon him. Judges chapter 14, verse number 6. Judges chapter 14, verse number 9. Judges chapter 15, verse number 14, and other places. The Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon Samson. Those are five or six different, in 1 Samuel 19, verse number 20, the Bible says that the Spirit of the Lord came upon the messengers of Saul. Those are six places in Scripture in the Old Testament where the Bible says the Holy Spirit empowered somebody in the Old Testament. You can tell the Pentecostals and the healers, feelers, and squealers they're wrong that it's only a New Testament thing. God moved at creation with the Holy Spirit. He moved on people in the Old Testament and empowered them in the Old Testament. By the way, you say, why is that? Listen to me very carefully. Because God is eternal. Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I tell you something? God didn't change his mind. God still wants to empower the believer. Do you know that God's work and the Holy Spirit's work has always been the same? And when man was created in the Garden of Eden, and we're going to get to this point number three. You ready? How do we get the Holy Spirit? I'll show you. Man had in him at Eden body, soul, and spirit. And it was the Holy Spirit that breathed into man. And before man sinned, he was body, soul, and spirit. And that spirit was able to communicate with the Holy Spirit, God the Father, and God the Son. And there was complete fellowship between God and man. But then sin entered. Do you remember that when God told man, if you sin, the day thou eatest, thou shalt surely? Did his body die? Did his soul die? But something had to die. What died? The Spirit. That meant the Holy Spirit had been chased away because of our sin. And no longer could the Holy Spirit empower sinful man who did not have a live spirit. Now, take your Bible, turn to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Folks, if I shout and do a lap, just wake up and slap yourself, amen? Because I'm about to. I know it's been hot this week. I know you're tired. But let me tell you something. This is worth getting excited about. All right? Get your Bible. Get ready. Here it comes. Let's start in verse number 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the... Capital S or small s? Capital S. For the law of the Spirit of... What's the next word? Life. Quickened. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. Did you know what? When you get the Spirit of life, you're not ever going to die. Your body may die, but your spirit will never die because the Holy Spirit will not die. Look at verse number 3. For what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh, God, sending his own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Ooh. For that they that are after the flesh do mind the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Why, by the way, look at that last statement there. To be spiritually, is that a capital S or small s? That's man's spirit. So to be minded after man's spirit, which means you got born again, you will be able to mind the things of the Holy Spirit. If you don't have a revived spirit, a live spirit, you can only mind the things of the flesh. Let's keep reading. Verse 7. Because the carnal, fleshly mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now if any man hath not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. Look at me. That means if you don't have the Holy Spirit in you, you are not a child of God. Let's keep reading. Verse number 10. And if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead, notice that, the Holy Spirit raised up Jesus from the dead. Why? He quickened him. He put life back into him. Watch this. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if ye live after the flesh, ye shall die. But if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. Here we go. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage, notice small s, again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Here it is. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. Now look at me, here we go. Ooh, about to have a spell. Brother Smith, you get to play the Holy Spirit tonight. Why don't you stand up just in front of your chair, just a step back. Go back all the way to the beginning. Man is threefold. He has a what? Body. Say it with me. He has a? He has a? And he has a? But when man sinned, his spirit did what? Crash and burn, amen? It died. The moment, that woke some of you up, didn't it? I just wanted to lay down for a minute. Here's what happens. When man's spirit is dead, can the Holy Spirit talk to the soul? Can the Holy Spirit talk to the body? No, he can't. The Holy Spirit is only going to talk to you through your spirit. That means this spirit has to be born again. And the moment it gets born again, he gets to talk to the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says, verse 16, and the Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. You know you're saved because you have the Holy Spirit in you. Without being saved, you have no Holy Spirit, which means you cannot even communicate to God. Now watch this. Thank you, Brother Smith. We'll come back to that in just a moment. Turn to John chapter 3. This will all make sense right here. I'm teaching 3 hours of material in 40 minutes tonight, folks. Hang on. My mind's going way too fast. John chapter 3, verse number 1. Now, everybody look at me once you get there. This is the story of Jesus and Nicodemus. Again, I want you to notice flesh, death, life, spirit, small s, capital S. Okay? Follow with me. Verse number 1. There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God. For no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, How can a man be born when he's old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? What's he talking about here? He's talking about a physical or a body birth, correct? Watch this. Jesus answered, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit. Capital S or small s? Capital S. He cannot enter the kingdom of God. Stop right there. Look at me. Keep your Bible open. When a baby is born, what has to take place before that baby's born? The water has to break. That water is not talking about baptism. It's talking about a physical birth. Before that child's born, the mother's water breaks. Say why? That allows that child to go through the birth process. God said, unless you're born of the water, not baptism, and of the Spirit, capital S, you cannot see the kingdom of God. Let's keep reading. You ready? Verse number 6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. Here we go. That which is born of the Spirit, capital S or small s? Capital S, is Spirit. Capital S or small s? Small s. God said, that which is born of the flesh or the water is flesh. But that which is born of the Holy Spirit is man's spirit. Small s. That's why when you get saved, the Bible uses the term regened or regenerated. Because the Holy Spirit rebirths you. That's why verse number 7 in John chapter 3, Marvel not that I say unto you, ye must be born again. Not of the flesh, but of the Spirit. Because man who is lost is body and soul. When you get saved, you become body, soul, and spirit. And that Spirit came because of the Holy Spirit regening you, coming into your life, moving into your life, and you have him from there through eternity. Now, here's where some of you might get mad at me. Some of you good old-fashioned Baptists. I hate to tell you this, but when you get saved, Jesus doesn't come into your heart. It is the Holy Spirit. Well, I asked Jesus into my heart. God knows what you meant. I'm not saying you're not saved. But it's unscriptural, it's unbiblical to say Jesus came into my heart. He didn't. The Holy Spirit came into your heart. You accepted by faith what Jesus did, but when you got saved, you were born of the Holy Spirit in your spirit became alive. Take your Bible, turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 before you hang me thinking I'm teaching bad doctrine. By the way, I'm not saying you can't use that terminology. I think people understand what you mean, but it's not biblical, just so you know. 1 Corinthians chapter 6, let's look at verse number 19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, for you're not your own. For you are bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Folks, the moment you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Holy Spirit of God moved in. And I'm not picking on anybody, but these Pentecostal healer feelers and squealers, these charismaniacs, oh, you got to be saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Folks, the moment you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are filled with the Holy Ghost. Because that is how you got your spirit reborn. That's how you became born again. By the way, when God puts life into something, he doesn't take it away. That's why you have eternal life. Your spirit will never die again. Say why? Because the Holy Spirit quickened it, gave it life. There is no condemnation to it, because the moment you got saved, you trusted what Christ did, wiped all the death away. Though your body will die, guess what? Your spirit won't. My wife said something to me the other day. She said, do you realize when you're born dead, but if you're saved, you die alive? Man, what a good statement. Man, you're born without breath. You might lose your breath here, but the last one you take here, you're sucking in heaven's air if you're saved. Man, what a statement. Now, turn to Acts chapter 1. We're almost done. I promise you. Acts chapter 1. I want to show you just a couple verses and then we'll go home. Look at verse number 2. Until the day which he was taken up, after that he, through the Holy Ghost, had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen. Skip down to verse number 8. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea, Samaria, the uttermost part of the earth. Look at me. Oh, I'm waiting for the Holy Ghost. Then I'll have the power to go out there. No, God said, after you receive power, then the Holy Ghost will come upon you. What is your power? Can I tell you something? Your power is very simply this. The commandments and the word of God. They received their orders and their commands for the word of God. When they had that, they went out everywhere. They were supposed to go to Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and the uttermost part of the earth, getting the gospel out. And it was the Holy Spirit's job to then use that for people to get saved. Well, I'm waiting to be filled with the Holy Ghost before I go soul winning. Got it backwards. You go soul winning and God will use you doing your obedience to the word of God to empower you so people can get saved. Then you'll see the power of God. He doesn't give it to you for you to go out. You go out and he gives it to you. Well, soul winning's not my gift. It's not a gift. It's a call. It is a command. It is a commission. There's no gift to it. Well, I'd like to get the power of God to go. You just go do it. You just go do it. And as you're doing it, by the way, you don't say, well, I'm going to wait for God to prove that tithing's right before I tithe. No, you start tithing and God proves it was right. I'm going to wait for God to bless me before I give. No, you give and then God will bless you for it. God doesn't change those commands. Folks, the Holy Ghost is not some weird jibber jabber, flip on the floor, flop like a fish out of water. I got it. Man, back in the 70s and the 80s, used to be a bunch of weirdos out there. Oh, I got it. I got it. I got it. I don't know what they got, but I didn't want it. Weird stuff, man. Oh, the Holy Ghost is leading me. And it's all fleshly. Did you ever notice? Did you ever notice? Man, I used to, my wife, God bless her, Brother Neil, I preached in a bunch of black churches down south. Now, those are places where they pull preach out of you. Can I tell you why? Most of them are very fleshly minded, thinking they're spiritual. Did you ever go to a black funeral? Took my wife to a black funeral. Man, this lady was saved. The daughter was in our church. They had the deaconesses down front with the white outfits and the white gloves. And Miss Mabel wasn't crying. And they said, come on, Miss Mabel, you got to cry. She said, why? My mama's in heaven. And they'd walk up to her and pow, pow. And they were smacking her in the face. I leaned over and grabbed her by the shoulder. I said, Mabel, cry and get it over with. You won't be bruised. I said, man. I said, what were they doing? They were fabricating spirit. Mabel was already filled with the Spirit because she was winning people to the Lord the whole time Mama was laying in the casket. She had already had it. She didn't need to weep and wail and cry and be spiritual. Folks, you go and do, and God empowers you to do. Come back on Sunday. I'm going to preach a whole sermon on how does God get it all done. Can I tell you how God gets it all done? Through the Spirit of God. How do you have the strength to keep on going? How do you just keep on going and 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 going? Can I tell you why? The more I go, the more God empowers me, and the more God empowers me, the more I can go. It's that simple. It's not coffee. It's not vitamins. It is the power of God. I'm not kidding. Folks, there's times I am so dead dog tired, I don't know how I'm going to make it. And I say, oh God, I need it. I'll keep going. You keep filling. And all of a sudden, there it is. By the way, it wasn't the skies opening up. It wasn't trumpets blaring. It wasn't some experience and a light shining down on me going. Oh, you spoke in tongues? No, but Brother Stoltz does just about every week. He speaks Spanish. The word tongue means language, not jibber jabber. Oh, it was a heavenly language. God doesn't speak in a language we can't understand. He gave us a book written to where we could understand it. Say why? Because he wants to empower you. How do you get empowered? You get it by receiving the Holy Spirit. How do you receive the Holy Spirit? You get saved. Well, what do I got to do? Get saved. Once you get saved, you've got him. Then it's a matter of you listening to him to lead you. To know the Holy Spirit more, you need to know the Bible more and obey the truth more. Can I tell you something? Every time you obey the truth of that book, the Holy Spirit empowers you that much more. Every time you disobey that truth, the farther away the Holy Spirit will be from you. The more you obey, the more power you get. The more you disobey, the less you get. It's just like your children. The more they obey, the more you can trust them with, the more you can give them. The more they disobey, the harder it is on them, and the farther from the truth they get. It's that simple. To know the Holy Spirit more, you got to talk to him more as you pray. When's the last time you ever talked to the Holy Spirit in prayer? Brother Smith, right there. Written on this pulpit on a brass plate, I yield to the Holy Spirit. Anybody that's ever sung, anybody that's ever spoken from behind this pulpit sees that. Say why? I want them to realize it's the Holy Spirit, not them. Last thing we pray is I walk out of my office before every service. Brother Smith, cross my heart, hope I die. Holy Spirit, please fill Brother Smith with your power. Fill the musicians. Fill me with your power. Help you to have control, not me. Pretty close? Say why? I'm talking to the Holy Spirit, not God the Father. Say why? I need the Holy Spirit. It is His Spirit that communicates with our spirit that gives us life. By the way, it's the Holy Spirit that goes to God the Father and God the Son and communicates to God the Father what we need. That's your direct access. That's another sermon. Say, how do we find out what the Holy Spirit's leading me to do? Get in that book, and if you don't know what that book says, come see me, and we'll find out. But I promise you this, if it's contrary to that book, I'll tell you. You might not like the answer, but as long as it lines up with that book, I've got to accept it just as much as you do. By the way, well, why are you pastoring this church? Because God told me to, not because I wanted to at first. But it lined up with the Word of God, and I couldn't fight it anymore. Everybody doing okay? All right. The Holy Spirit is not for show. The Holy Spirit's not a show to draw people to you. The Holy Spirit is to empower and to revive and to quicken and to give life to the spirits of men. By the way, we'll get into this thing about tongues. Read the book of 1 Corinthians. You'll find out tongues are not for a sign to them that believe, but to them that believe not. It's not a proof of being saved. It was given for soul winning, for people to get saved. The Holy Spirit is there to gently lead you. He will not force himself on anyone. God wasn't in the fire. He wasn't in the wind. He wasn't in the waves, but a still, small voice. You have to yield to that Holy Spirit after you've been saved to be led by that Holy Spirit. That's how simple it is. You know that one little piece of equipment right there? Runs your vehicle. My car probably weighs 2,300 pounds, maybe. That one little key right there runs every bit of equipment in that machine. Just a little thing. Yeah, but if you don't turn it on, guess what? You can sit in the parking lot. You can pretend you're driving. Like some of you drive. But unless you turn it on, it doesn't do you any good. Guess what? You can pretend you got the Holy Spirit all you want, but unless you turn him on, guess what? It doesn't work. You can think you're going somewhere. You can put videos up in your windows and make yourself feel like you're driving. Guess what? You're not going nowhere. Put the key in, turn the key. Or, in my dad's car's case, have the key on your person and then push the button and turn it on. Either way. But if you don't have that key in your pocket, you ain't pushing the button and going anywhere. You still got to have it. Say why? The key is the Holy Spirit. And you got to turn it on. That's who the Holy Spirit is. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The Holy Spirit is a real person, folks. It's not play. It's not a show. It's not some weird experience. He is a part of God. He is a part of the Trinity of God, and he is there. And once you got saved, you got him. Now you have to yield to him, talk to him, and get to know him, just like you get to know the Word of God, so that he can empower you.